So the recommendations, according to the World Health Organization, is that kids don't consume more than 6 teaspoons of sugar a day. And that sounds like a lot, Alana, but actually, a lot of the sugars that they consume are what we call kind of hidden sugars, and they're not hidden, they're in plain sight, but we don't often realize that they are there.
This is a Baby Brunch podcast.
Welcome to another Baby Brunch podcast. A big thank you to our support, to Epimax, Curaprox, and to Jacaranda FM. Today on Baby Brunch, we are unpacking the powerful connection between nutrition and oral health. Did you know what our babies and our children eat does not just affect their bodies, it affects their gums, their teeth, their breath, as well as their oral microbiome. Well, today in our studio, we've got Jade Seelinger. She is a registered dietitian, a business owner, and a mother to 3 hungry children, it says. Well, how many are there?
They're 3, and they're constantly hungry.
Welcome to Baby Brunch.
Thank you.
This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist-recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.
What does a registered dietitian do day to day? Like, what does your day look like?
Oh, you know what? It's so different and so diverse. So we do one-on-one consulting. We consult to corporate. So every day actually looks a little bit different.
Wonderful.
So whether it's one-on-one or doing a talk at a corporate or doing this sort of thing, it's lots of diversity.
What does nutrition and oral health have in common?
So the way I think about it, Alana, is that oral health is almost like your mouth is the front door to nutrition. And what you're letting into it is either building a beautiful, healthy house or it's building a house that's going to fall apart at some stage.
Can we say that the cavities that our children have is a brushing thing, or do you think it's a nutrition thing?
I think it's, if I had to choose, I'd almost say it's a team sport, that like it's a little bit of both. So you're brushing twice a day in the morning and the evening is obviously essential. But if you're eating kind of terribly during the day and just bathing your mouth in sugars and acids, then it's going to develop dental caries as well. So it's a bit of a team sport, I would say.
I must tell you, often when we do content or we do chats around brushing, we really get a lot of likes and people comment so wonderfully on Baby Brunch. So it's such an honor for us to have you here today, which brings me to my next question. Surely there is a link between what our kids eat and also things that we as parents do that we don't realize.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's that monkey see, monkey do, that our kids mimic what we do. And I think you can get away with it for only so long. And as any parents, I think we've all had that moment where we've kind of hidden behind the cupboard door and snacked on our kids' party packs that we've confiscated from their parties. And there's just only so long that you can do that for before they start picking up on your habits and kind of going, oh, well, mom's eating like this, or dad's always getting takeaways, so I want those as well.
I realized more recently that, you know, we as parents are the problem because we fill this fridge with so many nice things and now my children can walk,
you know, they can
open the fridge and actually choose whatever they want. And the amount of times that I've said, maybe don't have that, I realize maybe don't buy that.
Yes, exactly. We live in a world, we call it almost an obesogenic world, where the availability of highly palatable, absolutely delicious food is just so available and so easily accessible. And so our kids, when it's available and kind of at eye level when you open the fridge, they're going to grab it and eat it because it's right there for them.
All of a sudden, I'm thinking about habits. I mean, if there's one habit that we as parents could reduce or change, you know, what would it be, especially when it comes to diet? Because I think that's where the cavities lie.
Yes, definitely. I think as a parent, one of the key areas that I would recommend changing is that constant grazing that our kids do. And you know it with your kids as well, I'm sure, that fridge door gets open numerous times in the afternoon. And we've stopped being eaters where we eat a breakfast, lunch, and supper, or maybe a snack or two in between. And kids are constantly grazing. And so they're constantly kind of washing their mouths in this acid bath. So when you eat a food, for about 30 minutes afterwards, the bacteria in your mouth can produce acid. And so it's kind of drenching your body in that acid, increasing the risk to kind of form these dental caries and weaken the enamel in your teeth. And so that constant eating and the constant grazing is a problem.
Talking about constant grazing, I mean, how bad is chewing gum or bubble gum?
Well, I think when it comes to chewing gum, it's also all about moderation. So it depends how often it's happening. When it comes to children, I wouldn't recommend it because it would be a choking hazard as well. So definitely not when it comes to children. The negative maybe is that your stomach is expecting this drop of food to arrive and then it doesn't. And so it can increase your appetite when you're chewing on that gum.
We always say the sugary treats, you know, we've been in this chairs on the studio before where we said, that cupboard, you know, the cupboard with all the cookies and all the delicious and nice stuff. I mean, how much sugar should children really eat or not eat to avoid the cavities? When we get to the children's parties, I just let them have the sugar. I just call it sugar.
Yeah.
Cake, you know, if there's a sugary drink that they want, I let them have it. But I mean, how much is too much and how little is too little?
So the recommendations, according to the World Health Organization, is that kids don't consume more than 6 teaspoons of sugar a day. And that sounds like a lot, Alana, but actually a lot of the sugars that they consume are what we call kind of hidden sugars, and they're not hidden, they're in plain sight, but we don't often realize that they are there. So it might be the smoothie that you buy that might have a whole lot of added honey to it, which is increasing their sugar intake. And it's a healthy sugar, or what we see as a healthy sugar, but still contributes to that sugar intake and has the same effect on your blood glucose control as regular table sugar. So it's being aware of all the areas that your children are getting sugar that you might not even be aware of.
Okay, Jade, you didn't know this, but it's time for a game of true and false.
Ooh!
Crunchy fruits and veggies clean the teeth while eating them. True or false? Is it a myth?
True. There's some truth to it. So why is that the crunchiness and the crispness can remove some of the plaque that's on the teeth? Does not replace brushing. So you still need to brush your teeth twice a day. And then also that fresh fruit can also stimulate saliva production in the mouth, which we call nature's natural mouthwash.
Teeth are forever, but your stomach is too. You should just treat your tummy and fill it with as much yummy food as you can.
Sis Alana.
No, I'm reading this. This is they gave me this question to ask you. Okay, I added it in. But can't we just, you know, we're living this life like we are immortal.
And it is a problem. So the thing is that with modern medication, we're probably still going to live longer lives, but it's poor quality life years. So living until you're 80, but you're crippled with diabetes and heart disease and cancer is not fun. So what we choose to put into our mouth is incredibly important for our longevity.
Birthday parties. If there's a birthday party every week, true or false, if your children are not going to eat the party pack, you should. Waste not, want not.
Is this going by your led by your example? I hope not.
Because you see, my kids actually don't like the drinks that they're putting there.
Don't they?
But if you take only one sip, it's delicious.
Really? Mm. Oh, no, I don't like that stuff. Sorry, I can't agree with you.
How much calories is in a party pack, the standard party pack?
A standard party pack, I always think in kilojoules because that's what we typically do in South Africa. But I would say it would be about 1,200 kilojoules, which is, it's a meal. It's a whole meal. And kids have already had the sweets and the cake and the chocolate and all of that at the party. And now we're laying this on as the extra. So as a rule of thumb, my kids know when they get in the car, they hand it over. And either we give it away at the robot to the next person waiting or begging. It goes to someone who needs it.
Sustainable?
Yeah. Or it goes into the sweetie jar and it gets used in treats on a Friday in their lunchbox.
So interestingly enough, I mean, question, how long, if you had to take a party pack with 1,200 kilojoules in it, how long would it need to last the average child really, instead of gobbling it all up in one serving?
So a bite-sized treat would be equivalent to about 350 kilojoules, which would be a small packet of Smarties or a small packet of chips.
Okay. Mm. Two apples.
So that should be three snacks then, if you've got like kind of three items in your party pack.
should we be kilojoule counting when it comes to our children? I mean, should we say it out loud, or is it something that you keep a secret and you say, oh, you've had enough, eat all the blue Smarties and tomorrow you eat the pink ones?
I don't think so, Alana. I don't think we need to be kilojoule counting. I think we need to kind of take a step back and look at the bigger picture and go, are our children eating 5 portions of fruit and vegetables a day? Are they getting the 3 a day dairy that they need? Are they getting lean proteins with every meal and snack? So for me, that's more important than going kind of, what do we need to exclude? What do we need to include more of in their diet?
If we had to look at the typical diet of the child, I mean, what if we're starting from scratch? You are starting at solids and baby needs to eat. How do we get a guideline other than just the moms on the playground talking as to what our children really need to eat? Would you say it's a team effort with our pediatrician, our dietitian? Do you think we should rely on Google and the books? I mean, what's your go-to for advice?
So the recommendation is, well, I think it's tricky these days. I think there's so much food noise and we've got an overload of information available on social media, and wherever we look, there's information what we should be doing. And I think it can be incredibly overwhelming. When it comes to healthy eating, it's back to basics. So it's going, again, is your child getting whole grain, high fiber, carbohydrate? Are they eating the same as the family eats? Are we going back to just normal real food? If the family is eating fish, potatoes, and pumpkin and beans, your child should be eating that pureed up. So it's just as simple as that. We tend to overthink it and think that they need these very fancy, expensive, frozen children foods. It's not that. It's grabbing a can of pilchards and blending it together with some brown rice and some green beans, like I said, and getting just real whole food in is important.
Just in terms of making the small changes at home, you know, what can us as mothers do? And I want to quickly share. When our babies are small, you know, I often meet the mommies and they feel like they need to lose weight because they've just had baby. Now everyone goes into an exercise routine and they manage to lose the weight. Then eventually we pick it up again because we're going into a perimenopause. Menopause is some podcast that we've done on the show before. So it feels like there's that constant battle, not just to try and just keep the household's diet, but to try and keep baby's diet. And then mom's very hard on herself as well. What advice do you have?
Yeah, again, I think it's incredibly overwhelming, and as much as possible to simplify eating and remove the mental load from it, I think it makes eating healthier easier. And for me, the whole family being on the same diet is absolutely essential, not only because of the skills that the children learn when they sit down and they see mom eating her peas, so they might be more interested in trying their peas, or dad. Like, I often find the dads are so good
because they're
like
are the biggest
the hero
influence.
They're the hero of the family. So if dad is getting stuck into the coleslaw salad that you made and going, oh my word, this is delicious, the kids are more likely to try it as well. So I think as often as possible, getting the family to eat together at a table, speak to each other, and enjoy the same diet, I think is hugely important. And then the mom's eating healthier because she's working on her diet, and there's a knock-on effect. The kids are eating healthier and the husband's eating healthier. The whole picture improves.
Let's talk about things that are out there, you know, social media, buzz. There's a lot of these pre-packed meals. I clicked on one advert the other day and then my algorithm started feeding me all this.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think of these pre-packed, you know, they'll say this is for a ladies' meal or a kiddies' meal or a gym meal, and then they write the kilojoules on these pre-made meals to make and simplify your life. Never mind all the packaging that goes hand in hand with it, you know, and sustainability.
Yes.
But what's your take on that?
So I think that with all things, there's a place for it. And I really do believe that there's a place for quick and easy and convenient. And our lives are busy. And you've got to look at what the offset is. What's the alternative? Is the alternative that that family was going to go through a drive-through and get takeaway burger and chips and a Coke for the family? Well, then the packaged convenience food is definitely a better option. But personally, I do believe that cooking more meals from home and more home cooked where you're in control of the ingredients, and also where it's at a lower cost. I think the cost of food is so high that if we can keep the cost low, and healthy eating, much to I think most people's disbelief, is really cost effective if you're doing it properly. So I think that there's a place for convenience foods options, but I think that the skill of cooking at home, seeing your kids prepare food, for them learning the skill of cooking through you is irreplaceable.
Leading up to today, it looked like on our platform, the tuck shop is the biggest culprit. Mom packs a healthy lunch and children have got access to either money at the tuck shop Or they have these credit card systems where they're loaded on a card or a profile and the child has access to their heart's desire while the mom and dad's not around. What's your take on that? How do we gain control, helicopter process, or even control the fact that at home, everyone soldiers on and they're so obedient, but the minute they are in front of the tuck shop, Tani, yay, man, brantle los, they all enjoy what's on that shelf.
I think they're similar to adults, that it's a dopamine effect of food, that food industry has created food, that it just hits that dopamine point in your brain, and it codes for reward. It goes, this tastes amazing, you need more, and you need to do this again. And so I think it's double-edged, where we've got to allow our kids to develop the skills to control what they buy, but also manage how often we are exposing them to that, knowing that it's difficult, knowing that they're going to look at something sweet, highly salty, fatty, palatable, and they're going to want to buy it. And so it's double-edged. It's about teaching them the skills of how to choose something that, sure, is a treat, and that maybe they finish the lunchbox that mom packed them, and then they have the small box of Smarties straight after. So there's a little bit of balance there, but managing how often they're exposed to that.
Tell me about oral microbiome. So usually when they talk about microbiome, it reminds you of your tummy.
Yes. You know,
oral microbiome?
Yeah. So basically, Alana, what happens is your microbiome starts. It's a whole journey. It starts in your mouth and it goes all the way to the end of your digestive tract. And in that kind of journey is trillions of bacteria living there. And your mouth is a start of that. And so you almost think about it that you've got these trillions of good bacteria and you've got a few bad ones as well. The more you feed the good ones, they run the roost almost. So we really want to just support and nourish the good bacteria.
How does one maintain a good microbiome? I mean, is there something that you can eat that will increase, like yogurt and lots of it, the same way that one would handle, I don't know, thrush?
Yes, absolutely. So there's certain foods that contain naturally occurring probiotics. And so that includes the foods like kefir, like yogurt, like mas, for example, are brilliant examples. And then also fermented foods. So think of pickled gherkins and pepper juice, they also contain probiotics naturally. So then you're introducing these wonderful new probiotics into your system. There's also a couple of foods that feed the good bacteria. So those are things like fiber, anything high in fiber. So all of the colors of the fruits and vegetables are really important to include in your diet, because your good bacteria is basically going to feast on those.
All of our moms and dads are listening to this podcast and they're watching this video and they are asking for 5 tips on reducing cavities and also building up a good nutrition, so good diet. What would your advice be to us?
So I think one of the important things is when it comes to this kind of like really strong, healthy mouth, we often look at or think of foods that we should and shouldn't eat. But what we must remember as well is that there's certain foods that are building blocks for these wonderful strong teeth. So making sure that your children are including calcium in their diet, so that we're going to get from dairy, and the recommendation is you have 3 a day dairy. So it's 3 portions of dairy a day, whether you're having mass or yogurt or milk or cheese, but including that in kids' breakfast and lunches and snacks as well. So the calcium is very important, vitamin D is important, phosphorus, vitamin A and vitamin C. So there's a balanced diet that's going to cover all of those. So I'd say that making sure you're getting the right building blocks is hugely important. The other thing I would say is to kind of take bite breaks, where we're not constantly biting and constantly grazing, to have bites in between, breaks in between bites.
My kids call it a food break.
Yes, that's good. What, when they eat food or when they don't eat food?
When they don't eat food, you're having a food break.
Yes, so yes, it's a good thing, and we need those. So that, like I said, you're not constantly washing your teeth in these acids. And then I think also just an easy one is to replace sugary drinks or fruit juices with water, so that you're cleaning your mouth with water frequently during the day.
Off topic and not pertaining to our children, but definitely to our moms and quick fads out there. What is your take on injectables and things to speed up this process of having to lose weight when we're not on the spectrum of any diabetic disease?
Well, I think that you've got to look at the whether this patient is indicated for such a drug. And if they are, then it's a wonderful drug. If your BMI is over 27 with a comorbidity, you're indicated and you can use it. Or if your BMI is over 30, I think a powerful way to look at it is when it comes to weight loss and managing health, we've got a toolbox that we can look at. The toolbox includes diet and exercise. When those tools aren't working, we can look at pharmacotherapy or drugs to support weight loss. So I think it's a tool. I think it's a tool that can be used and that is valuable. It's got to be used for the right person, though.
What if we have a desire to do these things with children? I mean, do we speed up the process when it comes to children losing weight? Do we give them medicine or medication?
Well, I think we've got to look at the tools, and the first tools we always are reaching for is diet and exercise. And those are the most important, and often we are going to get results with those tools. But if we don't, I think that we've got to keep looking at other tools. With children, for example, and childhood obesity, it's the fastest growing rate of overweight and obesity in South Africa. One in every five children are overweight or obese. And 79% of children with overweight or obesity will become an overweight or obese adult. And so, and with that comes the comorbidities, the diabetes, the heart disease, the cancer. And so that's our concern. And we've got to look at the different tools available to manage it. But it's a case by case, case by case scenario.
This has been wonderful, and we're saying cheers to you and everything cheers. That you do.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast. A quick thanks to our support. This podcast is supported by Epimax, the dermatologist recommended skincare range specifically formulated to hydrate, soothe, and protect. Whether it's dry skin, sensitive skin, or just everyday moisture, Epimax has a solution for everybody. Fragrance-free, hypoallergenic, and suitable for all ages. Curaprox aims to create 1 billion healthy smiles. A healthy mouth means a healthy body and mind, creating better health for you. Great oral health starts from day one. It's never too early to start. Curaprox Baby gets your child on the right path of starting healthy oral care habits for life.